The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. This is the Scone show that you're listening to.
Seems to be, doesn't it?
We've had some fun in the first hour of the show, but we're going to talk...
Enough of that.
Yeah, no, we're going to have fun. But we're going to actually talk about business for a change in the second half of the show. I have got loads of emails still to cover, and we've still got tweets coming in all over the place. And we've got two lovely guests to talk to, who we're going to talk to very shortly. But I want to tell you about a new report that was released today by the Federation of Small Business. The productivity gap in the southeast is set to persist as 8 in 10 small firms hold back investment. Small firms are struggling to expand, they're struggling to hire and to raise productivity as political uncertainty leaves them increasingly hamstrung. According to the full SBI Quarter 2 2019 report from the Federation of Small Business, which was released today, 80% of small firms in the southeast are not planning to increase capital investment in their businesses over the coming quarter. The region's figure is higher than the number in the rest of the UK, which is 72%, which is the highest since quarter two 2017. According to the Office of National Statistics, business investment fell for four straight quarters last year for the first time since the financial crash. Elsewhere, a third of small firms in the southeast say accessing appropriately skilled staff is now a major barrier to growth. In the UK, this number is at 35%. Nationally, the net balance of small businesses that are increasing headcounts is down by 2%. So it's uncertainty, basically. There are two big barriers. It's uncertainty. Our politicians have made the biggest screw up of all time, and they can't decide to do anything. So in doing nothing is the worst response. We don't care what they do, as long as they do it and get on with it. But the biggest problem is skill shortages, and I've been banging on for that for over a year, and it's getting worse, not better. Mm. Yeah, so there you go. But we're going to talk about some of those kind of issues in a moment with these two young ladies as well, because there are people out there with skills, and we don't use them. So we need to think about that. Yeah. Shall we introduce our guests?
Let's do it.
Shall we do that?
Yeah.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker show Christy Haggis and Lucy Ellis.
Christy
just looked at me in absolute amazement, because I think that's the first time in all the years I've known her that I got her name right first time.
I would have clapped.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
thanks for having us on.
No, it's an absolute pleasure, Christy, and thank you for joining us. And I've been practicing that all the time. And when I first met Christy, which was years and years ago, I got it into my head that her name was Kirsty, and I just couldn't shift it, could I? No matter how many times I told you and how many times you told me it was wrong, I just couldn't shift it out of my head. So I've been practicing for days.
I'm very appreciative. I just gave up telling you in the end.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, call me what you like. I don't care.
Whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, ladies, thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to hear from you. You've recently launched a new business, Works Diverse, and we want to talk to you about that and the kind of things that you're doing and what you're hoping to do. So I'm not sure where the best place to start with this is. Maybe what made you think? I'll tell you what. Tell us what the business does, first of all, and then we'll kind of move it from there. Yeah?
Over to you, Christy.
Okay. So basically, it's a certification service for SMEs to show that they've got ongoing commitment and pledge to be a more equal, diverse and inclusive workplace.
Right.
So we saw a gap,
yeah,
if you like,
yeah,
because small businesses, they, you know, without it resorting to tokenism and trying to get somebody from every
minority
group,
it's a bit difficult, that,
yeah,
really, isn't
it,
unless you can package it all in one.
Exactly. And it's really hard for them to show that they do care about these issues that are, yeah, massive at the moment with, you know,
yeah,
Me Too movement and all the stuff that's in the news about the gender pay gap, but yeah, you know, not only that, the LGBTQ+, there's a pay gap there that was on LinkedIn just over the last couple of days, as well as disability, and there being a pay gap there. So they're definitely big issues, and
yeah,
companies want to resolve them. I don't think anyone wants to stick their fingers in their ears and just stick to what they're doing. People are a bit more enlightened now. So we just want to help them show you know, they recognise it, and they're going to be the best that they can be. And that's the important thing. It's about businesses showing that they're doing the best that they can for their business. So it's not a one size fits all. There's, you know, not a big checklist that they've got to fill in. It's completely personal and individual towards towards those businesses.
It strikes me as it's a bit like ISO 9000, whatever, the quality certification that says, look, we've had someone look at our processes and they say that they're quality processes. Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't tell you what processes to have. They just look at the processes that you've got and go, that'll work. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that you've got a similar kind of approach that says, we're not telling you you have to have 5 black people, 3 lesbians, 2 disabled people, and although you should, of course, but you're not telling them that. What you're doing is looking at their hiring and people management processes and going, that conforms to a diversity and equality agenda.
Exactly. Yeah. And being ready to take someone on. Yeah. So they might not have anyone in the wheelchair, but if they, the next job that comes up, and that's the best person for it,
it's looking at where they recruit.
You know,
a lot of companies, especially smaller companies, they just do the same old, same old. They're not kind of moving forward and looking at different areas they can recruit in and the different initiatives, you know, like apprenticeships and things like that.
You're absolutely right. Maybe let's just kind of discuss that for a moment because, as you know, I kind of do some stuff in that area myself. And there's a few issues that that I come across all the time. First and foremost, the first thing to say is that, especially when hiring people with supported needs, you know, people with disabilities or mental health issues or whatever, you're not doing them a favour. There's a lot of talented people out there that are highly employable. What the issue has been is that the vast majority of employment now in this country is with small businesses. And small businesses don't tend to have HR departments and they don't tend to have specialists that can help you hire. Yeah. So I think it was Lucy that said, you're absolutely right. The hiring abilities of lots of small businesses leaves a lot to be desired because all they've done is copied what they did before they started their business with some other corporate years ago. And, you know, on Jobs in Kent, we still get adverts with closing dates. I mean, get out of it. Mm. You'd be lucky to get anyone respond to the ad, let alone a closing date. Yeah. That kind of civil service recruitment practice just doesn't work anymore. Interestingly, and I'd like your thoughts on this, and I think you might know, do you know Amanda Parvin that runs Ethical HR? Well, she's trying to pioneer this different method of interviewing people with autism because they get people with autism, some of them get put off by the confrontational manner of an across-the-desk interview. So she's looking at doing alternative things to that. So all those kind of things are interesting. So you guys are offering certification to businesses. So kind of step me through how that kind of works. You know, if I come to you and go, listen, I'm committed to having a diverse workforce, what do I need to do?
Okay, so we'll go into the business and we'll really get to know and understand the culture and what the business owner, who we tend to work with, really wants to achieve out of it. So we'll ask loads of like leading questions, facilitate conversation, that kind of thing. Mm. And then the next step is to send out a basic survey, I guess. It's a tool that we use that helps to measure wellness and diversity in the workplace.
All right.
It collects all the information on an aggregate level. And then at the end of that, what you end up with is a dashboard to show where your business is at that point in time. So it just shows, are your staff happy? You know, how many of them filled it in? Because we all know that not everybody's going to do that. What they'd like to see, you know, it's a bit like a suggestion box, I guess, but a little bit more evolved, I guess you could say. And that gives us an idea of where the business is at, as well as talking to the management or the owner of the business. And then we'll go away and we'll prepare a report, which is just some suggestions and some ideas at things that they might like to look at in the coming 12 months. Mm. That's then agreed with the owner and the management team and everything else. And then they're ending up with the certification after that. So it's kind of a pledge,
right,
if you like. So we're going to make those changes in this amount of time. And then we come back in a agreed amount of time. And at that point, we would say, do the survey again. Mm. And it would show, hopefully, lots of improvement.
Sure. Yeah.
And we're also on hand along the whole way to handhold as much as they would need us to signpost to other businesses.
I was going to kind of come on to that in terms of, based on my knowledge about a kind of typical small business with 10 or 15 employees, the business is usually approaching a point where they're finding it hard to manage because they're having to spend more time managing people and less time doing the business that they actually started. And I don't want to be rude to any of them or anybody, but I just see it so often. So few people have any idea how to write a decent job ad, to start with, to attract people in the first place. They're very formulaic when they do. Yeah, they use the same old tried and tested methods that don't actually work.
Yeah.
It was debatable whether they ever worked, but they certainly don't work now. there's also a fear element about the interview process, about saying the wrong thing, about turning people down. And just to balance the argument a little bit, I have seen vexatious candidates that deliberately put in applications for jobs on the grounds that, you know, they think they can get some money out of you at a tribunal. Not many, but I've seen a few that do that. And that creates wariness amongst people and their hiring patterns. So they tend to default to a base level, and it doesn't really work. So for me, a lot of businesses need help, kind of what I'm saying. Is that the kind of thing that you can do, or you can signpost them to the help?
We do a lot of signposting. So we've, in these last few months, we've been building lots of relationships around Kent and London.
Yeah.
And where, because one company, they might want to be introduced to Sport Kent or Sport London or Sport UK, I think is the main one.
Mm.
And that won't work for another company. So then there's the other, I can't think of everyone that we've been working with.
People like Kent Support HR. Ethical HR, people like that. Yeah.
All of those people will kind of work out with the employer how much budget they have and how much they'd like to spend.
Yeah.
And it could be they don't want to spend anything, but, you know, they've got us in and that's enough. And we've got loads and loads of resources that are completely free that are available to us that are just not advertised, you know. And Kent Supported Employment is one of them.
The training that they do and everything.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so.
Okay. So that's the rationale. That's what you do. That's why you're doing it. And you're happy with me saying that it's very similar to an ISO 9000 quality standard.
Yeah.
Yeah, in terms of its processes and what you're looking at. Okay. I think that gives people out there a good idea of what it is you're doing.
And there are other certification services and and things that you can sign up to, but they're very specific. So Stonewall, the LGBTQ plus charity, they have one, but that's obviously very specific to that. It doesn't kind of cover the other things.
The whole range,
and probably more focused towards the larger company. And with 99% of businesses being SMEs, we just thought, well, there's nothing that can encompass as much as we can and give that personal one-to-one service and work with the business owner.
Absolutely. And funnily enough, I was at an event a couple of weeks back, which was the ex-Armed Forces event, and they have a similar thing, which is called the Armed Forces Covenant. So, again, there are individual things, but, of course, an employer employs across the range. That's the whole point,
course,
isn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay, I'm loving that. I like that. Let's kind of go back a step now. And what made you guys think about filling this gap in the market and starting this business?
I guess there's a couple of reasons, but my main one was I was on maternity leave and decided that I needed a bit more flexibility.
Mm.
And, you know, working in small businesses for my whole career, pretty much, I just don't think there were the facilities for people to be able to work flexibly.
Mm.
And it has to work for both people. It can't just be working for the employee. It has to be the employer as well.
Yeah.
So that for me, as a mum of three children, like the lunatic that I am, was a massive thing. And I just think it's something that I feel really passionate about. And I know that Lucy, who's also my business partner and sister, mm-hmm. Is in the same boat. She has a son who's autistic and she's got a toddler who is a handful. And we both love working and we both love working with small businesses. And starting this, it was just seemed to tick all the boxes. Yeah,
and just be right. And I was doing a lot of networking last year and there were so many events that I'd go to that it was all around mainly women at the time. Why isn't there enough women in construction, tech, and what can we do about it? And it was kind of that question that we based it on, really, to sort of think, right, how can we solve this problem?
Absolutely. I'm kind of throwing this out there and I'm interested in your responses to it. The way that I look at this, and you kind of hit it a bit, Christy, we live in an age of flexibility now. You know, things have changed, and we don't always realise how much they've changed. You know, since the last century, but they have, and they've changed radically. And flexible working is one of the major things that people need because of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. You know, we have more single parent families than we've ever had before, for instance. But even without single parent families, we still need flexibility, you know, around schooling, around childcare, and even more so as our population ages. Our middle aged people have a double whammy because they're looking after kids and parents in a lot of cases.
And that's something
we've
as well.
Done that as well, haven't we?
Yeah. It's really important, I think, to mention that it's not just about being a woman, about being a parent. It's about making work around your life. So you have to have a happy workforce, otherwise it just doesn't work. People coming into work miserable all the time, and to achieve that and to have that kind is to have a culture that encourages people to you know, not be afraid to ask if they need to go home and walk their dog. Their problems are just as important as, you know, the next person's, and their lifestyle choices are again just as important.
It's fascinating to me because it's a management issue, because you need to manage it, and too many people just try to manage it by stopping it, which is just never going to work. Just as a counter example to that, the thing is, we live in a connected society. 9-to-5 work doesn't work anyway anymore. We don't work 9-to-5. We just don't. My phone doesn't auto switch off at 9-to-5.
No.
As an example of that, I got an email on Sunday evening at about 10:30 in the evening from someone in the public sector about a business thing, you know, which is the most ultimate non 9-to-5 job. You think at least the public sector still work 9-to-5 and no other. But a senior manager in the public sector sent me a business email at 10:30 on a Sunday evening asking me a question, which I was happy to answer. And then we had a whole dialogue about doing something on a Sunday night, you know. We just don't work 9-to-5 anymore.
No.
But for me, that's a good thing. But what we have to do is manage our workforces in a radically different way. Because I've had this conversation with a lot of people now about flexible working, and people go, "Well, you can't, you know. Customers need someone to answer the phone, or you know, if you run a production line, what do you do?" That's all true, but that's all just management.
Yeah.
You just have to manage your workforce that says, "Okay, you need to go home and walk the dog." That doesn't mean to say that everybody has to go at the same time and walk their dog, does it?
Exactly. And it's making it work for everybody. And another important thing is because we don't work 9-to-5, like you said, I bet you work a lot longer than full time, and you probably need to take a little step back and switch your phone off at some point, just to get that work-life balance.
It's funny you should say that, because, again, it's one of my things. I read out about the... one, about the Bank of England panel, and two, about a thing I was mentioning earlier, the thing I went to with the Minister for Small Business last week about productivity. But I'm not convinced they measure productivity properly anymore either, because it seems everyone I know works like 20 hours a day, not just small business owners, even the public sector, you know. And I don't think our measurement of productivity is what it should be any longer, because we don't work in the same pattern. We don't work in silos. We do stuff as it comes in. Yeah. So you might have tea and then send a few emails. You might, I don't know, go and have a bath and then come back and, you know, send some LinkedIn posts about something. Work isn't a continuous flow any longer.
Exactly. And it's about not feeling guilty about that. So you're doing enough.
Yeah.
And it's also that thing that we were talking about before we went on air about the trust.
Yeah.
And people can sometimes sort of roll their eyes and say, oh, they're working from home. They're sitting there, doing nothing, or they're picking up the kids from school. But if you've given an employee that kind of freedom to be able to work from home, then, I mean, not every instance, you'll get the odd couple, but 9 times out of 10, they're working their socks off because they're so grateful that they can, go to sports day or they can walk their dog or go, get their blinds fitted, whatever it might be.
I was having a really interesting conversation with Matt Caxton, who's the CEO of BMX. BMX are a Slough-based organisation. They're a social organisation, a community, community interest company.
Yeah.
And they help people with disabilities into work. And we were discussing this about how they charge. And I was talking with a couple of lawyers about this as well. Professionals and people putting in staff to working places charge by the hour, traditionally. But increasingly, that is not an effective way to charge any longer. One, because you end up overpaying if you're not careful. So if I hire a lawyer to do something and he sends me a bill saying he spent 4 hours doing it, couldn't I legitimately say, well, couldn't you have done it quicker? Why did it take you 4 hours? I don't know why it took you 4 hours. Yeah. If I could have gone to another lawyer that only took me 3 hours, what was it, So people are starting to question this, is time the right multiple? And when I was talking with Matt about, he said, well, what's the alternative? And I said, well, you charge per project. Yeah. If I can do it in an hour, if I charge you 500 quid to do a job and I can do it in an hour, or I can do it in 5 hours, so what? As long as you get the job done within the time frames that you want it done.
You're paying for the job, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm paying for the job. I don't care how long it took you to do it,
Well, you're paying for the expertise as well.
Exactly,
you're paying
for
that wisdom and IP that person has. You're not paying for what they can do in 1 hour.
Yeah, but, without being overly crude, but, I don't care if you went to the toilet 3 times and cooked your lunch while you were doing it. Why should I pay for that? Yeah, I want to pay for what you did. Yeah.
Yeah, no,
exactly. Mm. So I'm with you on this in terms of the fact that we need flexibility as well as diversity. They're two edges of the same thing, because quite a few people in the diverse supported needs side of the equation have to have flexibility for all kinds of medical and support reasons. So
everything to me, this is all just culture.
Yeah.
To me, this comes down to culture.
Yeah.
This is the management of culture.
Yeah.
So you've got to go in at the top. And for me, there's always been a massive gap, and that would be role modeling.
Yeah.
So unless your top tier of people are doing what you want the company to do.
Yeah.
So if you look at, you want the work face, then who faces the public should be looking up to the role modelling of what. So if you want flexibility and diversity in the workplace, you have to be doing it.
Yeah.
And that's where I see the gap.
Yeah.
I don't believe that's happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, it isn't.
Excuse me. So I totally agree. But what do you think is stopping that from happening?
Mm.
What are the main obstacles that we need to start breaking down for you guys?
I think there's the fear factor is a big part of it. And also, I think sort of around a different generation, basically. Mm. I think there's like an older generation which find it hard to change.
Yep.
And then you've got the sort of next generation coming in, and it's that sort of crossover, I
and all think. They want is change.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
And I think I was at a roundtable event at the Chamber a couple of weeks ago, and they were just saying about how long the 50-plus generation stays in a job, and I wish I had the stats now, but I think on average it was something like 8 to 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And how long do people between 20 and 28 or something.
It's about 3 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, not quite that bad. I think it's just under 2 years or something
like
that.
It is,
you can probably have a look at it. But that's that's massive, isn't it? And you know, and what we're trying to promote is that you want the 50 plus, you want the young, and you want the middle as well, and all of those people can benefit from flexibility and from a culture shift and from, you know, a workplace that cares about their well-being and is different. You know, we spend a hell of a lot of time at work with our colleagues, and you know, often companies can end up with like for like, because you employ people that are similar to you, and you can end up with some quite hefty gaps in.
And this
in
is where diversity comes in, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. But it also nails what Bird was saying about being culture and about being the management of culture.
And
it's actually quite smart, except we're not very smart with these things. And what I mean by that is the way to manage a diverse organisation is with diversity. And without being gross or, you know, compartmentalising people, but just taking it as a as an example, if you've got a lot of young people working for you that have needs to be away and do things and walk their dog or whatever it is, the best balance to that is to hire some older people as well who don't have the same pull on their time and go, do you know what, we'll pay you to sit in for them. Then you can support each other. Then they can do what they do. You can do what you do. You like starting work at 6 o'clock in the morning because you've been doing it for 42 years.
So crack on with
that. So crack on with it, you know, not a nice one, you know. It's about managing that culture and that setup, isn't it?
And also about having initiatives and things that that mean that everybody feels included.
Yeah.
So if you're my age and you go into a workplace and you're the oldest by 10 years, it can be quite isolating, you know, for me. I'm at a completely different point in my life than somebody who's in their 20s and wants to go out every weekend and doesn't have to rush off to do whatever I have to do, you know, like pick up from school or whatever. And it's about just making sure that everybody feels comfortable in the workplace and that there is that inclusive vibe and culture.
Yeah.
And there's so many different ways that you can do that. And, it, you know, like we were saying at the beginning about Kent Sport, you can sign up for kind of like sport activities as a team, or you can have a reading club, or you can do, you know, laughing yoga in your breaks or whatever. But you can really look at the whole workplace as a whole and work on that culture and continue to work on that. And that's what we're all about with the certification.
Yep.
That you know, we go in, you're going to pledge to make these changes, and you agree with us and you agree to make them. And you're going to continue to do that year on year.
Absolutely. But it also gives you the balance and the effectiveness of being able to manage your workforce in a better way. If everyone's the same, they're all going to do the same thing. And that's what causes a lot of problems. You know, back in the day, we haven't done this for years, but back in the day, and still in some places in Europe, for instance, they just close down for 2 weeks in the summer because everybody goes on holiday at the same time.
How often have we said that?
Yeah.
To close down through the summer.
Yeah, just go, we're all going on holiday because we're all going to the same place. Yeah. And you'll meet them on the beach instead.
You know, I never even thought about it. I've just done a contract for somebody I'm just about to employ, and they said, oh, do you want to stipulate when they take their holidays? I went, what? No, I don't.
No.
Well, I can't believe I'm actually going to put it in a contract.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
Yeah.
What I was going to ask you is how do you support companies who are just ticking a box in their corporate social responsibility?
That's not what we go in to do. So we would obviously not encourage them to do that.
That was a trick question, wasn't it?
It wasn't, because actually I think we think we've got to do this, therefore, okay, can you come in and help me do what I've got to do, rather than it actually going, actually, I value this and this is what it's going to bring. That's two different approaches really to the same outcome, isn't it?
No, you're totally right. And once they meet us, hopefully they go, oh yeah, there are some bits that I haven't quite forgotten. That we haven't looked at or we haven't thought about, and we could be making some changes. And that's supported by, you know, they have to make a pledge and they have to be doing something. And don't get me wrong, we could work with companies that are, you know, absolutely brilliant at what they're doing, and it's about maintaining that. But it's not something that you can just say, oh, okay, I'm diverse now, tick,
And that's divide. And that's what, yeah. Yeah, that's the interesting yeah,
so
bit, isn't it?
It is something that would go back on. Not, I don't like to say check up on them. It's more check in on them and yeah. just make sure that, you know, just see. And also to use the, our tool that we use again and to measure in a real really tangible way how much change that has made. And, you know, we can measure things like the turnover of staff. Is that, you know, a big deal to look at, as well as you know, all the other stuff that we were saying, like the wellness and you know, and the general diversity of the company, and whether they're looking at different recruitment ways. Have they done staff development? Have they got stuff in place?
Wellness is a really interesting one, isn't it? Because you can't measure it. You can't measure happiness. You can't measure the culture of the well-being in the company. But you know it has to be in place. Mm. It's like, we know that we need to put diversity into culture, but how do we measure that? And it's like this.
You can ask the question. I mean, and I don't think it's a question that a manager would normally ask. Is how are you in yourself? Are you happy at home and things? Whereas if you ask it with our tool in a survey, in an anonymous survey, people might. You know, not all of them will, but they might feel able to say, actually, no, I'm absolutely miserable at home. You know, and then you can see, and then you might decide to, you know, get the mental health first aid people in, or you know, or do stuff around mental health.
That is one of the hardest things to manage as a young business owner. So it was a long time ago. I had a senior manager that quite clearly had a severe mental breakdown. And knowing what to do with that was just, wow.
It's a minefield, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't, you know, should I even do anything? Because I'm not a qualified psychotherapist.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I can suggest to her that she's barking mad, and that's about all I could manage. And, you know, of course, they're not going to agree with me. But I found that the most difficult thing I ever faced as a manager, because there was no way of handling it, and there was certainly no one to help. Really difficult. I had an interesting tweet here as well, a little bit based on what Bird started to say about, you know, people ticking boxes for corporate social responsibility. It's from Diamond Circle, and they're saying, has pride become too commercial and lost its meaning? We don't change our logo to a rainbow logo just to support LGBT, because we support LGBT every single day.
Not just monthly. Yeah.
And that's a really good point, isn't it? So many people, you know, go along with the flow and the zeitgeist a bit, and they all change it for a few days. And
it can be a little bit of tokenism, but I do still think it's important that it is celebrated. Just because for 1 month of the year you can build awareness, whereas if you had rainbow logos for the whole year, you're not.
It doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything. It just means you've got a rainbow logo. so I get what they're saying, absolutely, and you can say it about so many different things. But I do think it's important that we do raise awareness, and I think in the age of social media. A month is quite a long time, really, to be celebrating something like that. And we should also be celebrating all the other different minorities.
Exactly. and I think that's the point, that it's okay celebrating these things, but actually what we'd rather you do is something about it. Yeah, you know, what we want to move away from is tokenism. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, so you get all... who was it? I can't remember where it was. It was one of the big corporations did something, and it upset everybody because they kind of got it a little bit wrong. I can't remember what it was. It was a while back. But that, to my mind, that's where you fall into a trap with tokenism. You're trying to be woke.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be woke. I just want you to do it every day. Yeah. And change your culture. That's all you actually need to do. I get your point about raising awareness with it. But I think... the way to raise awareness is to have a certification thing that says we're diverse. We don't have to have a rainbow or a ribbon or a this or a that, because we've got one of these, which means we do it every day.
As much as we can. It's inclusivity, isn't it? It's including absolutely everybody, and it is impossible to do as a small business. But you can have a blimmin' good try, and you know, and show that you're woke. I love that. I love that you use that phrase.
I'm woke.
I is woke, I is. I'm on my second childhood, that's why.
Yeah, you can show, you can show that, and you can show that you're open to it. And that's what we're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
You know, that we're just touching on that and having an open and inclusive environment, and business.
Yeah. Are you going to ask something?
I was going to ask
something. Yeah, you can have one last go.
What are you seeing at the minute is the biggest trend, because I love looking at trends, and how can you and I give somebody an instruction today or an advice today to say, you can put this in place, make an action, go do? Because this is where I always see, we can all talk about it, but I'm not seeing enough go do. No go do. How can we get that going? So what are you seeing at the minute, and what can we do to advise somebody to make a change?
It's really difficult to answer that question, because what our whole business and the whole certification is based around is working individually with individual companies. So there isn't a one size fits all solution.
So give us an example, one thing that's come up and then you thought, oh, well, this is how we put something in place to help support that.
So I think Kent Sport is a great one. Do you know much about what they do? So
no.
You can bet it's a free service, completely free. I had no idea it existed until I started this business. Basically, they can go into your workplace, help you apply for funding to get sports equipment for your team, and you know, sign you up to like an activity tracker to set up competitions. There's even a Kent. Kent game, what's it called, Lucy?
Kent Business Games
or something like that, which is something that's completely free to do and, you know, ticks a couple of boxes. It's team building because
engagement,
it means people get involved. Engagement, you know, the company cares enough to do something like this with us, and, you know, and better for their mental health and wellbeing because sport, as everybody knows, is brilliant for releasing all those endorphins. And it's something that's really simple and easy to do. That's one thing that I'd recommend to most companies.
Nice.
But if you've got a company that's, you know, quite small, it might not be applicable to them, and they might do so. And, you know, they might not have people that are interested in that kind of thing anyway. So they might want to look at something else, like a book club or walking club, or looking at their mental health. Or it could just simply be, let's look at management development and staff development and get a business coach in. Or it could be something like, let's get diversity training. And we work with Tiger HR, who are a great company attached to Tiger Law. And they deliver some fantastic diversity training, like really reasonably priced. And, you know, really does open up employees and employers' eyes to what's going on, and how it can affect and benefit them. So sorry, I couldn't answer that completely.
No, you have. No,
it's brilliant.
I always like to give people something to... What are we going to do now?
Exactly.
You know, it's
You're
the
right,
action
in
part of it.
Yeah.
At least we could talk about this forever, but sadly we're approaching the end of the show. If people want to find out more about what Works Diverse does, how can they do that?
On Facebook, at Works Diverse, all one word. LinkedIn, Works Diverse. What else is there? Twitter, at Works Diverse. Literally, basically every...
You got a website?
Social media, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Works Diverse.
Yeah,
works
funny
enough. WorksDiverse.com.
Com.
Yeah. Okay, there is actually a link on the...
Nice and simple.
Yeah, on the Business Bunker website to all of those things. So, and those links will stay there. Lucy, Christy, thank you so much. That was really good, really fantastic. Thank you. We've only got a few minutes left of the show, but thank you for joining us, and all power to what you're doing. Thank you.
Thanks ever so much.
We've still got loads of tweets coming in.
We have.
Yeah.
I've just seen a really interesting one, and it really follows on from what you were saying, Chrissy, about the employment of people at certain ages. So this is from New Appointments Group, and they say, Vanilla Web and Burden and Bike, loving the show, guys, and looking forward to sponsoring and seeing you on Thursday for Sitting Bourne Job Fair. They've said, our business support manager, Julie Stunham, is celebrating, get ready for this. This is unusual. 32 years here at NAG. She joined the business as a receptionist at our Sitting Bourne branch and was promoted to be our company founder PA. And they go on and on. 32 years. I wonder how many people can say they've stayed in one place to work for 32
years.
Not many
anymore. Life has changed. It's changed radically. Now the stats are that a person leaving school now will have 7 different careers with 17 different employers on average in their careers. When I was a kid, I got made redundant from my first job. My dad gave me a right shellacking. He said, you know, you're 15 years old and you've already lost a job. Nobody will ever employ you again.
Oh. Yeah. Well,
he was right about that, though.
I'd like to speak to Julie to ask her two things, really. One, why would you stay in the same environment? And two, how have you adapted as the business adapted to business?
It's fascinating, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting one. There's a guy called David Epstein, and he talks about this, and he talks about how different ages, and between the age of 20 to 28 is when we make the most growth in where we're going to go in our purpose.
Yeah.
So here we are saying to children at the age of, 13, can you take options for your GCSEs, for your career?
It's mad.
They're in no place to that. Exactly. Then they've gone to university. They've spent 60 grand on getting an education that probably they won't absolutely go into at the age of 21. Really interesting. We've got all this information, and yet we still continue to do the same.
Yeah, but because nobody wants to manage it, because it's like herding cats.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And they just want a formulaic answer to everything. It's because it's driven by government and by politicians. They just want short-term answers because they're only in power for a short term. Mm. They don't care about the long term, really.
Can't care about the long term. They're not allowed to.
No, but when they do, it's just silly stuff like Theresa May and her stupid £1 trillion green initiative. Exactly. It's pointless because by the time you get to 2050, it would have changed anyway. And, you know, it's just nonsense.
Mm. Nonsense.
Yeah, utter nonsense. Right, I need to tell you about things, and we're fast running out of time. The Tech Expo is taking place at the Kent Event Centre Detling on Thursday the 26th of September, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a one-day exhibition and seminars bringing together industry experts to help business owners to understand what technology is out there and how it can help them run, build and grow their businesses more effectively and efficiently. We have one of the world's top technology companies, Microsoft, providing a keynote seminar, and they'll be sharing with us how they are working to support businesses. So the speakers at the event are Brian Sutton from Microsoft, how Microsoft is developing to help business. Richard Bell, who's the Chief Technology Officer of Ten Intelligence on cybersecurity. Ben Abbott, the CEO of Maximum Media, getting your business ready for voice technology. Will Charlesworth from Child & Child, he's a lawyer, talking about digital law and IP. And Bill Burton from Dale Carnegie on, interestingly, being human in a digital world. There's also workshops. Aaron Taylor, CEO of 62 Tech, stop the sales pitch, start the conversation. Mike Hacker, commonly known to all of us as Hacks, who's the CEO of Prism Broadcast, how the proper use of video can propel your business forward. Zoe Cairns of ZC Social Media, who's an international speaker, having an adaptable content strategy plan. All this plus roundtables, panel discussions, networking meetups, and much, much more, and over 80 exhibition stands as well. It's all free to attend. All the details can be found at www.techexpouk.com. If you're a supplier with tech-based solutions, be it hardware, software, consultancy, support, recruitment, or anything else to do with digital or tech, there are still a couple of spaces left for exhibition stands, so do please check that out. And Fruit Bowl Media, my company, are proud to be one of the sponsors of that event. Have you got anything, Bud?
Oh, I've got millions. The King's Summit Business Scale Up Conference. It's on Thursday the 10th of October. I know it's a long time away, but I just love what this is. It's from 8 till 4 in the afternoon, and it's a Kent County Cricket Ground. Now, they're in partnership with Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce and the ICCC, and they're sponsored by Wilkins Kennedy Accountants and HR Go Recruitment. Are you looking to scale up your business but are not sure where to start? Would you like to achieve over 20% growth in turnover in less than 1 year? You need to get to this event. So it's got Simon Teague. He's the author and co-director of A New Level Results and the co-founder of the King's Summit. You've got Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, Managing Director of Orchard Employment Law. Go and see Gemma. She's awesome. I do a lot with her. You've got Stuart Godwin, who's dynamic communication coach and a public speaker. Julia Bernard-Thompson, who's a business sales coach. You've got King James, who is the founder of King's Summit and pastor of the Favour House Church. And you've got Ruth Whitaker, CEO of Mission Aviation Fellowship UK. You need to go and visit www.thekingssummit.com, and the early bird tickets are now available.
Fantastic. ZC Social Media Academy is taking place on the 11th of July between 2 p.m. and 4:30 p.m. at the Bridgewood Manor Hotel. That's in Waterslade Woods in Chatham. Come and learn some quick wins and the latest news and updates on social media. Come along to the popular ZC Social Media Academy and learn updates, cutting edge information about the online digital world with speaker Zoe Cairns. Take away the latest invaluable information and use immediately for your online marketing. If you're having a problem with your social media activity, there's a 15-minute Q&A session at the end of the meeting. Bring plenty of business cards as there's lots of networking opportunity. It includes tea and coffee. And guess how much this costs?
Free?
It's zilt. It's naught. It's zero. It's nothing. It's free.
Nada.
Nada, nada, nada. It's free. To book your place, zcsocialmedia.com/zcsocialmediaacademy.
Awesome. Well, we've had Alison Palmer. She's put in Business Bunker Air. Any lovely business owners willing to join us for our 2 hours at Broadstairs tomorrow? And this is for the Skills 3030, and they'll be in East Kent. Self-employed and business owners are welcome to join us and talk to students and tell the truth about the world of work. Now, I want to follow on from that, and that's help bridge the gap between schools and businesses. So in Kent, we offer a practical way for businesses to engage with education through Skills 3030. Now, this is a programme. It's a two-hour event. The programme looks like this. For businesses, there's a one-hour networking room, presentations, FSB lobbying, Kent supported employment team, enterprise advisor network, and our very own Mr. Paul Andrews on skills and employment. For the students, there's a one-hour workshop, how to present yourself at work, how to stand out in your new job and use LinkedIn to your advantage. Then we bring both together for business and students, 40 minutes facilitated networking and then 10 minutes free networking. You need to go to email alison.palmer@fsb.org.uk, or you can go through jobsinkent.com and sort that out. Now, the next event is tomorrow.
It is. Then 10 o'clock.
Yeah, and that's, and then this one, so that's at St George Church, isn't it?
Yep.
At England Foundation School. Then you've got the 25th of September, Haysbrook School at Tunbridge. Then you've got the 20th of November, Longfield Academy. And then in 2020...
You've got Wilmington Academy on the 21st of June, 2020.
So that's 2020 at 30:30.
Exactly, yeah.
Nice.
I like what you did there.
Thank you.
Talking about what you did, the full report and video from the University of Kent, Kent Business School, Kent Business Summit 2019 are both now available to both read and watch online. And on the front of that report is a lovely little photograph of Bird.
And Deborah Turner.
And Deborah Turner.
We are the poster girls.
You are the poster girls for the Kent Business School.
The only time, can I just say, we were really professional all day. The only time I was naughty was that moment that they caught me, Deborah and Helen Walby at the other end of that photo.
Yep. Laughing. And joking.
How dare we have fun.
Yeah. Anyway, you can go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS. You can download the report for free, and you can also view the video of the whole event. Do check it out. Also, if you'd like to increase your sales, drive your brand awareness and learn how to become a thought leader in these intensive, you can do that in this intensive LinkedIn workshop with Jade Pluck. The next workshop is taking place at the Village Hotel Maidstone on the 16th of July. If you want to find out more, go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/category business events. There's a tab at the top that says business events. Click on there and you can click through to all the details. You've got time for one more.
Really, really quickly then. So this is the Air Show. I said this last year. Year before that. So this is the Armed Forces on the 29th of June. I'm just going to go really quickly through them. These are all real great things to go with your family. The Battle of Britain Air Show, 6th and 7th of July. Then you've got the Combined Ops Military Air Show, the 10th and 11th of August. And then you've got the Southern Modern Show, and that's the 7th and 8th of September. Go along. It's at, you need to go and visit
www.headcorneevents.co.uk. Fantastic. The Kent Creative Awards are back for 2019 and entries are now open. Kent-based artists, creatives and cultural organisations who contribute to the culture and creative scene in Kent and also live or are located in the county can enter these awards. The closing date for the entries is August the 16th, and the Kent Creative Awards 2019 is supported by Roger Gale, MP. He's the MP for Margate. And he said, I'm delighted we'll be welcoming the Kent Creative Awards to Dreamland. So the awards are taking place at Dreamland in Margate. And Eddie Kemsley, who's the CEO of Dreamland, said, we're delighted to be hosting the Kent Creative Awards for 2019. Promoting creativity and cultural growth in our community has always been a priority for us. If you want more information or how to enter, if you go to www.kentcreativearts.co.uk/Kent Creative Awards. That's kentcreativearts.co.uk/Kent Creative Awards. And check it out.
Awesome. I've got one
Have you got a little one?
Not really. It's a big one.
Paraphrase.
Gillingham FC. You've got Harry Hackett saying that he went to see Dean Saunders. He's one of the best speakers. They've got a night at Gillingham FC on the 25th of July at the Great Hall. They've got Sky Sports broadcaster Rob McCaffrey, and he will be joined by former Liverpool, Aston Villa and Wales striker Dean Saunders. The night will consist of a welcome drink, two-course meal, tea and coffee, and a Q&A. And you need to go to James Knott, and his email is jknott@pressfield.com.
Fantastic. Thank you. Just to remind you to save the date, it's our annual Southeast Construction Exhibition, and it's taking place on Thursday, the 26th of September 2019 at the South of England Event Centre at Ardingly. You can book your place by going to www.constructionexpouk.co.uk. Also on the same night as the Construction Expo Awards, the platinum sponsor of those awards are occupational health company All Health Matters. If you want to enter the Southeast Construction Awards, there's a website for that, which is constructionexpoawards.co.uk. So do both of those things. And the exhibition itself is free to attend. Right, we're at the end of the show. We've reached the end of another show. It was lovely to speak to you all today, and I hope you've enjoyed it and found it useful. I just need to tell you about our sister show taking place on Friday at 11 o'clock, the Business Bunker Extra Show. And this week, as always, presented by Amanda Flanders, and her co-host this week is the lovely Gemma Fairclough-Haynes of Orchard Employment Law. And their guest is the wonderful, you've got to listen to this because he's brilliant, is the wonderful Mr. Roland Stanley of Dragon Networking.
Yeah, he's great.
Co-working.
Yeah.
Dragon Co-working. Mr. Roland Stanley, he got some stories, so do tune into that. It's well worth a visit. 11 o'clock on Friday here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk, the Business Bunker Extra Show. But that's it for another week. I want to say a big thank you and a massive well done to all the Maidstone Business Award winners 2019, and thank you for those that came for an interview. I want to say an even bigger thank you to our two studio guests, the lovely Christy Haggis and Lucy Ellis of Works Diverse. Thank you so much for being with us. To my wonderful co-host, lovely Bird on a Bike.
You're welcome.
Enjoy your time in Africa.
Thank you.
And we'll hear all about it when you come back.
Yeah.
But that's it for another week on the Business Bunker Show. Listen, have a fabulous week, everybody. We'll see you all next Tuesday. In the meantime, bye-bye for now.
Bye. Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.